The name of Jesus. We're looking at the import, the significance, and the weight of that name. And the reason why we are taking our time, line upon line, precept upon precept, because it's as we go through the scriptures that we are able to glean an understanding of how much God has stored in that name. Because everything from the foundation of the world to this present dispensation, through the eternities, is hidden in Christ Jesus. So that we understand Him is what holds the scriptures together. Is a message of the scriptures. It's not what the scripture talks about. It's a message. It's a main message. It's a main theme. So the more we understand Him, the more we're able to decode God, to unravel God. Now you may not understand God, but at least you understand Father. Amen. Father is easier to understand. And Jesus brought to us a revelation of the Father. The Bible says, no man had seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. So He revealed God to us as Father. And that's very important. And then He made us sons of the same Father. So we have an inheritance. We have an heritage that we cannot gloss over. It is not God's responsibility to enable us to walk in that inheritance. It's our responsibility. And that responsibility is something we exercise by perusing the scriptures diligently, so that we glean truths that we can now apply and walk in the measure of it. Psalm 82 and verse 5. I wanted to show you something, even as we start out tonight. Psalm 82 and verse 5. Are you there? It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Prophetic scripture. It's a revelation of the New Testament. It's only in the New Testament that we have sons of God, that you can call men sons of God. So this was David speaking prophetically by revelation. Remember, David wrote most of the Messianic Psalms. Messianic simply means a psalm that reveals the coming Christ. So Moses wrote most of them. And then Moses gives us a clue or instruction. Says, they know not, neither will they understand. What comes before understanding? Knowledge. It is processed knowledge that we call what? Understanding. So it says, they know nothing that we don't understand. They walk on in darkness. So it's your understanding that it's your walk. What is responsible for the difference in the results of faith that true believers have? The walk. What's responsible for a superior walk? Understanding. What's the foundation of understanding? Knowledge. They know not in that way they understand. So they walk on in darkness. In other words, they are not meant to walk on in darkness. But the problem is they don't understand. So they're not able to apply. Because what you don't know, you can understand. And what you can understand, you can apply. So it says they know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness, or it affects their walk. What don't they know? I have said. So here's God speaking from the dimension of my covenant will I not break, neither will I alter what has gone out. If I have said it, it is in operation. It says the people that it was spoken of, they know not, neither will they understand. So their walk is like a desk, it's upside down. And not walking the reality of what I just said. What did I say? I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But they know not. Hallelujah. So you can have an inheritance. It can be precious, it can be tangible, it can be substantial. When you don't understand the inheritance, you can't walk in the wealth of it and the comfort of it. I had a story, I think it was Charles Spurgeon that spoke that story about an elderly woman who spent her early years walking in her household. In that household, at the end of her tenure in that house when she retired, all she was given was a plaque. A piece of paper framed in a plaque and given to her and signed by the head of the house. You know, so, and after a short period of time, roughly about 20 years after, she ran out of her savings. And so she began to be in want. By the time the individuals in the society community found that she was already malnourished and she was dying gradually because she wasn't feeding well, because she didn't really have anything. So the doctor that came to examine her, check her health, noticed the plaque on the wall and went close to the plaque and the red wall was there. And then came back to the woman and said, "Are you the owner of the plaque?" He said, "Yes." "Is that your name?" And that plaque said, "Yes." "So how long have you had this plaque?" He said, "About 20 years. "Said, do you know what this plaque means?" He said, "No." He said, "Would you permit me to take it and go and give it to the right authorities to examine it?" He said, "Yes." And then the man came back and said, "This is a will. That the person you work for wrote in your name, bequeathing all his inheritance to you." But the woman did not know. So she was looking at it proudly. "But this was given to me because I served well." She thought it was a commendation, but it was an inheritance. And the inheritance was there, but she couldn't access it because that was a document she needed to access it. But she didn't even know what was written because she wasn't learned. Hallelujah. Let me give you a second illustration. So you saw that for the young man who went on the journey across the seas, what people normally call overseas, and then he had just enough money, sold all his belongings, everything. He had just enough money to pay for the ticket. He didn't even have enough money to, in quotes, buy other things. So while he was on the ship, he had a tin of biscuits. It was going to take 2 weeks. The trip was going to take 2 weeks. He had a tin of biscuits, so he was managing the biscuits and water, and he would look at those on the ship who would go into the dining hall and eat as they wanted, and he was admiring them and everything, and he kept eating it until he ran out of the biscuits. So one, he just said, "I can't die of hunger on the ship. I'll just go in, and after I finish eating and they ask me for money I don't have, I'll just tell them, 'Let me go and wash your place for you, but I'll eat everything I want to eat.'" So he went there, ate what he wanted to eat, and when he finished eating, noticed that the waiter asked her, "Would you like any other thing?" Because it was a buffet. I was like, no, "You didn't even ask me for money. You know whether I have money to pay?" The man said, "I don't understand you. You have money to pay, as in, what do you mean?" He said, "I've just eaten everything I want. You didn't even ask what I have. You didn't even ask me if I want more." He said, "Do you have a ticket?" He said, "Yes. Can I see the ticket?" He examined the ticket. He said, "This ticket entitles you to everything on this ship. Everything on this ship." He said, "I've been managing biscuits, managing." So the people he was seeing going to the dining room every day bought the same ticket, the same price. They were enjoying the benefit of the ticket. He was not. Now, it wasn't the fault of the ship owners. It was his fault because he didn't have knowledge. When we examine in detail the value, the majesty, the import, the weight behind the name of Jesus, we're doing ourselves a great favor because it was given to us. If Jesus was going, and when time he was leaving, and he was leaving the earth, he didn't see it fit to give you a house. He didn't see it fit to give you a bulletproof vest. He didn't see it fit to give you a car. But he gave you his name. It means everything you will need is in the name. So you need to understand, what is the import of the name? How does the name work? Hallelujah. So it's not something we're playing with. It's serious. It's central. The Bible says we're joint heirs. Joint heirs of what? What are we joint heirs of? That's the issue. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Romans 8:16. So it means that we've not received the spirit of slavery that we once had when we were in the world, but there's another spirit we have received now. It's the spirit of sonship, the spirit of Abba, Father. We're sons now. We cry, "Abba, Father," which means we have liberty before the Father. How was that possible? Through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Bible says that if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So we began to look in the scriptures and we noticed that the name of Jesus was received or obtained through three major avenues. Who can remind me of those three major avenues? This is the sixth day. We've had 5 hours of teaching. What are the three avenues by which that name was obtained? By now, it's like one. By conquest, turn. Bestowal. Okay? So, and the scriptures that we used, we saw by inheritance that in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that he being the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person, after he had by self purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty upon high. Okay? Waiting his enemies be made his footstool. Bible says, and he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. So by inheritance, he obtained a name. And we explained that when you obtain a name by inheritance, it simply means you are born into the name. How was Jesus born into the name that he has? He is the first begotten from spiritual death. Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 1. So look at that verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name than they. That means by birth. That means that the process by which Jesus resurrected, the Bible calls it a birth. It was reborn. Why did he need to be reborn? It was dead spiritually. So he didn't just come alive physically, he came alive spiritually. Hallelujah. There's a difference between rising from the dead and resurrection. I hope you know that. Should I say that again? There's a difference between rising from the dead and resurrection. Everybody that died, that came back to life, they rose from the dead. They didn't resurrect. Lazarus died. He rose. What's the difference? They came back the same way they died. It's so important that you understand that. They came back. Lazarus didn't change. He just rose from the dead. But when Jesus rose, hallelujah, and became the first begotten, the resurrection simply means that there was a change in him. The first begotten, it was as though he was born and he was reborn. Notice we saw yesterday that when Mary saw him in the garden, she didn't recognize him. That means there were changes in his physical appearance. There was a different glory about this body. After he appeared to Mary and spoke to Mary, "Don't touch me or let me go. I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." By the time he ascended, what did he ascend to do? He went to present his blood. What did we explain was Jesus' blood? Anybody? His one? His life. It was God's living sacrifice. So when you hear he presented his blood, or you hear the blood of Jesus, he's talking about the life of Jesus, the very essence. That's what the blood of Jesus means. Very important. So he went at the Lord's high priest into the holiest of all to purge our sins. He paid the price in the pit of hell, but the actual purging was a sacrifice of himself, which is he used his very life to purge or to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and from all sin in the holiest of all before the Father. Hallelujah. And made available the new birth. When he came back to disciples, when he appeared unto them, he told them, "Handle me and see. Flesh and bone does not have this kind of body." He didn't say flesh and blood. Because when he resurrected, the body he rose from the dead with, or he resurrected with, no longer needed blood to function. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We treated that when we looked at what subject we look at? Implications of resurrection. Sometimes. Yeah, we taught a series on implications of resurrection, and I was teaching us about how our resurrected body will look like, okay, from the scriptures. Now, when Jesus rose, he told disciples, "Handle me and see." Why did he say, "Handle me"? The first thought he was a ghost. Because when he appeared, he didn't even use the door, he just came in through the wall. That tells you the kind of body we're going to have that Jesus paid for. Hallelujah. The body he paid for. No corruption, no blemish, no spots, no wrinkle, no aging process. It doesn't even require blood to function. And to me and see, flesh and bone does not have this kind of body that you see me have. When they were sitting down, he said, "Do you have any meat here or fish?" At least ghost doesn't eat. The kind of ghost that is, you're going to find out in Nollywood. Only Nollywood produces ghosts that eat. Their own ghosts can eat food. Jesus said, "And to me and see. Flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, flesh and bone." So in the other life, will be flesh and bone. He will still be able to eat. That's good news to some people. But you need blood to function. Blood was made for this terrestrial realm. But in the other life, it will be flesh and bone. But what am I trying to communicate to us? He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. What does the Bible say about him? Back to that Hebrews chapter 1. I'm taking my time because the details I'm bringing out are very important, not only for your learning and practice, but so that you can teach and train. If you're in Nobunaga Christian Center, you better get ready to teach people. You're not here for fun. You're not here accidentally. God has plans for you. Tell your neighbor, God has plans for you. Say, God has plans for you. Say, God doesn't waste resources. I'm just being sincere with you. I'm just telling you the truth. So if you are still thinking I'm not a minister, you are deceiving thyself. So deceive not thyself, because God will not allow you to receive knowledge at this level for the purpose of personal consumption alone. No, it doesn't happen like that. God doesn't waste resources. So he's building you up. There's a plan, there's a purpose in God's heart. So I've given you a radio now. Next verse, please, verse 5. Look at what the Bible says about him. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's talking about when he was reborn out of spiritual death. Look at the next verse. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. So every detail is a revelation of who Jesus is, who he was when he was in the four gospels walking upon the earth, who he is now, exalted at the Father's right hand. So we examine from scriptures that the import of the name when he was walking on the shores of Galilee is different from the import of the name now that is by the Father's right hand. The name hasn't changed, CJESUS, but the authority, the majesty at the back of the name has changed. Hallelujah. It has changed. And because it has changed, we are studying why it changed. What does name mean now? So that you won't use name casually. You use it with understanding and knowledge. He calls him first begotten. First begotten doesn't mean there is second. It simply means the model son. Hallelujah. And all of us are one with the first begotten. Glory to God. But when he was in the Gospels, John revealed him as the only begotten of the Father. That's when he came out of Mary's womb. That was the word that became flesh, or wrapped up by our flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So when he put on flesh then, and he was the only begotten, it was Jesus the Christ. And we explained to us, what was my Jesus the Christ? Because when he told disciples, go, he put them 2 by 2 and sent 72 by 2 and then sent disciples also to go into neighboring towns. He sent them with delegated authority to go to places where he couldn't go. But he told them, use my name when you're going. Delegated authority. So they went everywhere using his name, and whatever Jesus, the Christ, was able to accomplish, his name was doing when they were using it. Hallelujah. His name was doing. Jesus the Christ then is different from Jesus Christ now. Hallelujah. It is still Jesus Christ. It is what is behind that phrase that has changed. So while he was Jesus Christ, an anointed prophet and the savior of Israel, the shepherd of Israel, when he rose from the dead, he was still called Jesus Christ. But the Christ changed in definition and dimension. I want to show you John chapter 1, verse 29. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 29. It's a very long intro. John's Gospel chapter what now? I've not forgotten. I want to be sure you're following. And verse 29. I'll just come to church one Sunday and then I'll ask you to close your Bible and I'll be asking you questions one by one. If you don't answer, you are in soup. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is prepared before me, for he was before me. Was John older than Jesus or not? Was he older than Jesus or not? So when he said he was before me, what does that mean? He can't be talking about age. He was speaking about his deity. He was before me. He's talking about the fact that he is my creator. He existed long before I did. By being a physical cousin to Jesus, he was 6 months older. So he says he was preferred before me, for he was before me. He was speaking of Jesus' deity, divinity. So verse 31. and I knew him not.
Did you see that?
But I should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. What is the reason for John's entire ministry?
To reveal Jesus.
Hallelujah. So once he has revealed Jesus, does John still have a ministry?
No.
Let's read them. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at verse 31 again. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. Which is, my water baptism ministry is for one singular reason, to identify Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sins of the world. That's my ministry. That's my ministry. So, verse 33 again. And I knew him not, but he that sent me baptized with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which does what? Baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So what was John doing to point the way to Christ? How was he doing it? Baptizing with water. How was Jesus going to baptize with the Holy Ghost? What was John's ministry about? A type. What was Jesus' ministry about? The real.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Notice when he says, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. When he showed Jesus and he pointed Jesus out, and the Spirit came upon him, he became Jesus the Christ. So the testimony we have in Acts chapter 10 verse 30 says, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Is it Jesus Christ? Not with tautology. Jesus of Nazareth. When he became anointed, he became Jesus the Christ. Do you understand now? Christ is not his son name. Christ is a reference to the fact that he was anointed. Jesus of Nazareth is the same as Jesus of Capernaum. But there's a particular Jesus that was anointed. That's the word the Jesus sister were present. Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with one power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were one oppressed, for God was with him. So the anointing that was upon him was limited to that scope. It was the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, but it was also the anointed one of God. What was he doing? Healing all those that were oppressed, for God was with him. So when he gave them his name to use, look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 from verse 17. I refuse to yield to Pastor Tolu's temptation to look back. When I look back, I stop reading my Bible. Alright, see. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Did you see that? Back up a little bit and see from verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, or verse 1, after this is the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, which whither he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest with his grace, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. The word salute no man means, don't lobby around any man long enough to forget your assignment. Do you understand? Because if you lead it literally, you say, salute, that means that means don't greet anybody. No. Don't lobby around anybody's resources long enough to be distracted. That's what it means. So, it says, into whatsoever you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Let's skip all that. So, back to verse 17 now. So, you should understand the background. And the 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Beelzebub has lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. That was the authority in the name at that time. Notwithstanding, with everything I've told you, with this level of power and authority, because what he gave them was authority. The word power there was authority. I give you power. There are two words for power in the Greek. The first one is exousia, the second one is dunamis. Dunamis is ability. Exousia is authority. Here he's speaking about authority. So he delegated authority to them in his name, which is the authority behind my name that is making me cast out devils. Go into those cities and use that authority. Delegated authority. As what? As Jesus the Christ, or the anointed one of God. Do you understand? Right. So you see, notwithstanding this rejoicing, that the spirits are to get unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written where? In heaven. Glory to God. So Jesus the Christ, so in that limited operation, the name was weighty, was important. Look at Acts chapter 2. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2. We're going to go all the way down to verse 33. But of course, you know what happened in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1 to 4, okay? What does it say? They were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongues as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as we came in. After those four verses, everything that happened was an explanation of those four verses. So we go all the way down to verse 16. Peter stood up and began to teach and explain from the prophetic scriptures. This is what has happened. So Peter is still teaching and explaining. Verse 33. Verse 29. I want to read it in context. Are you with me? Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Why was he referring to David? He wants to tell us from one of the Messianic Psalms what David was saying and who he was referring to. That David spoke and personalized what he said, but he wasn't referring to himself. So he clarified for them. Remember, David is dead and buried, and his sepulchre or his burial site is still with us. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, that's in the natural, through his lineage, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, that's by revelation, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. So his soul went to hell. I was talking to someone, and I was shocked. The person actually said that Jesus never went to hell, where people were being tortured. That the hell he went to was paradise. Ah. That is the end of our Christian faith. Because there's Abraham's bosom, a compartment of hell. Then there's where the men, where the rich man, remember the story of the rich man? Where he was being tortured in the flames. That's where Jesus went. He went. He was made sin. So he went. If he doesn't go there, you will have to go there. So it's not a funny matter. It's not something we just push away. No, if it doesn't go, you will have to go. Because it went as us. Hallelujah. It's so important. Thou shalt not leave his soul. Means his soul went, but it wasn't left there. Glory to God. He went there and they thought he was a sinner, but he was made sin. There's a difference. But he had never committed sin. So God raised him up. Hallelujah. His soul was not left in hell. Neither did his flesh see corrupt. Do you know what corruption means? It means his body, when he was in the grave, did not decay. That's strange. Something else is going on. Let's read on. I don't want to be sidetracked. Where are we now? Verse 32. This Jesus, the one who so wasn't left in hell, whose body never saw corruption, because the body of David saw corruption. So David wasn't referring to himself, he was referring to somebody else, referring to Jesus. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all witness, all physically we witness his resurrection. That's what Peter is teaching. And that says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Hallelujah. Remember what he told the disciples in John chapter 14 that we have been reading since? When he told them, the works that I do, verse 12, you will do also. And greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. So Peter now says, therefore, he being by the right hand of God exalted. That's the fulfilling of what Jesus said, I go to the Father. What was he referring to when he said, I go to the Father? I will be exalted. I will be at the Father's right hand, a place of authority. The Father's right hand is not physical right hand. That Father also has left hand. You know, some people, your imagination is wonderful. That since Father's right hand, then there must be left hand. And left hand is for punishing people, the right hand is for blessing people. The word right hand is a figurative phrase that refers to a delegated authority. You have given authority to somebody. The person can do all that you can do because the person is administrating your authority. That's what it means. Okay? He being by the right hand of God exalted. See what it says now. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which you now see and hear. Let's be done. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my son, sit down my right hand until I make thy foes what? Thy footstool. Hallelujah. Did you see that? For David is not attending there, but he said himself, that's of the Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy foes a one footstool. Hold on. What's the scripture I'm looking for? Yeah, beautiful. Next verse, verse 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, glory to God, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Do you see that? He has made him both Lord or Master and Christ. Pastor, but wasn't he called Jesus Christ before? Yes, he was. When he was on the earth in the fourth gospel, who was he? Jesus the Christ, or the anointed one of Israel. But when he became Lord and Christ, what changed? He is no longer the one who is anointed. He is the one who gives people the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The word Christ here means the one who baptizes men with the Holy Ghost. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth. What did he shed forth? The Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit. So his name Christ now simply refers to the fact that he is now the one who does the baptizing. He's not the one who is being baptized. He's the one who baptizes men. So John's prophecy has now been fulfilled at the Father's right hand where Jesus is exalted. What's that prophecy? I come baptizing with water, but there's one that comes after me, who is preferred before me. He it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Remember the experience that Cornelius had with Jesus when he went secretly by night. John chapter, what is that? This is how I'll be testing you. If you know the story of Cornelius, which chapter? Pastor, which chapter? Did I hear 10? Did you say 10? Cornelius. Sorry, Nicodemus. Sorry, forgive me. Nicodemus. I wonder when I was wanting to ask 10K. Nicodemus. That came. But when I said Cornelius came to Jesus, you should have wondered. Where did Cornelius meet Jesus? In the heavens or by vision? Nicodemus, what chapter? John 3. Excellent. See what happens. John 3. Because of our time, let's start from verse 1. We'll read quickly. Let's quickly read. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Next verse. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, isn't it? Except a man. We've not finished the. It's a serious matter. The same came to Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do this miracle that thou doest except God be with him. Say with me, teachers. Teachers are equipped to do miracles. Don't forget it. Next verse. I'm giving you a review. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus was speaking about spiritual birth. Nicodemus was talking about what? Physical birth. Jesus was speaking spiritually. Nicodemus was in the senses. Look at what he says next. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? Next verse. Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, Pastor T. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you read this very well, what he actually says is this. He's not speaking about water and the Spirit. He actually reads water, which is the Spirit. Water, which is the Spirit. The born again experience, water typifies the Spirit. So, what John was doing for those who were baptizing was a type, was a pointer to Jesus. When Jesus came upon the scene, the baptism in water was no longer necessary. See, Jesus is the one that baptized what? With the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Which is a new birth. Hallelujah. Which is a new birth. Very important. So his status and his authority, he being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father what? The promise, which means the status he now has as Lord and Christ, part of that authority guarantees that he can impart, he can release, and he can gift people with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me explain this way. He received the Holy Ghost in a format or in a form as a first begotten of the Father, such that other sons and daughters can have the same nature through the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. So it's a significant difference. Romans 8:29. See what it says. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the what? Firstborn. Look at that phrase again. Firstborn among many brethren. Now what again? Firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn simply means prototype, model. The same way you refer to first fruits among many one brethren. I want you to look at the phrases that the Bible uses concerning Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are on a journey, we are studying. And the more we understand, the more we grasp. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start reading from verse 20. Glory to God. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the what? First fruits. What's that word, first fruits again? It's the same one. It says firstborn among many brethren. First begotten from the dead. First fruits of them that what? Slept. For since by man came death, by man came also what? The resurrection of the dead. Did you see that? Say with me, by man came death. I know you think it's by Satan. It's by man. It's by man submitting to Satan that death came. And there's a process. Because the Bible says that sin came. And through sin, death used the opportunity to enter into the system. So man sinned, and then sin invited death. That's what happened. So man invited sin, then sin invited death. So it says, for since by man came death, by man came also what? The resurrection. So you understand why Jesus had to be a man, or why God had to become a man. And we call his name Jesus. Look at the next verse. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, hallelujah, shall all be made alive or made to live. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, he shall reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Remember, he being by the right hand of God exalted. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Don't come to church for a seminar without Bible, without writing materials. How will you capture everything that's said? Your memory is not that photographic. Okay? Verse 17. They come back now. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's about to explain what that knowledge is about. Because the reason why you notice the Noble House and every church that preaches the gospel, why we pray the scripture a lot, is because what I'm trying to explain to you in a few words, between the cross and the throne, is the revelation of the body of Christ. Is that the body of Christ came to be? If you can see it and understand it, you will never have fear again. You will be bold. Miracles will be normal. You will breathe signs and wonders. Because it's the authentication. It's your warranty that you ought to walk in the miraculous. If you can understand this prayer that Paul is leading the church by the Spirit to pray, if you can, your eyes of understanding can see, you will heal the sick at will. It's not a function of asking God. It's a function of you walking as you have been made to walk. Hallelujah. So this prayer, any serious Christian that wants to grow spiritually must make this prayer a major focus in his life. It's a prayer I pray all the time. The first time I prayed every day for 6 months. And I began to see things I never saw in the scriptures. And since I began to see, I said, let me pray more. And prayed more. And prayed more because there's so much to see. So he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is him? The one who went to the cross, who died and was buried, who became sin for us, who paid the penalty, who suffered condemnation in our place, who rose on the third day, who ascended to the highest place in the universe. There's no place higher than where he is. Who was given a name at his resurrection that's above every other name? And what that name now means to you, because Ephesians now says, and you as he quickened. Hallelujah. Who were dead in sins and trespasses, where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has loved us, even though we're dead in sins and trespasses, he has quickened us together and raised us together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What does it mean for you to be quickened and raised and sit? You need to understand it. They are not cliches. They are not figures of speech. This is your life. This is who you are. This is why God is able to relate to you the way he is. The fear will be gone. Forever ostracized. You'll be so confident. All this is about things chasing you the dream. You'll be chasing things. Things will not even dare come to your dream life. Hallelujah. You'll be free of fake prophecies. And when he sees you on the road and says that, the thing I'm seeing for you is not good. Tell the person, the thing I'm seeing for you also is not good. If you continue this way, I can see that it can't be good. If you continue, I can see it can't be good. For surely there's an end. And my expectations shall not be cut off. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. That's what I can see. I don't know what you are saying. Say, these are the embers. Pray that your enemy will not die. No, I don't even want my enemy to die. My enemy should live and give his life. You know, they have phrases now. It sounds very, very religious. Pray that your enemy is you. Not say, pray that your enemy. I don't know where I will got here. That is giving prophecy now. The thing I'm seeing, brother, the thing I'm seeing, just pray. May your enemy not have accidents. No. In fact, my enemy will not have accidents because my enemy will be saved. God will have all men to be saved and come to know you of the truth. Hallelujah. Because the man they are referring to is not my enemy. Men cannot be your enemy. Your enemies are not men. They are sickness and disease and death and demonic powers. He's gotten us sidetracked. You're not looking for the neighbor who doesn't get you any money, that is your enemy. You have been deceived. That the way he even answers, money, that is one. He's my enemy. You have been deceived. I've been deceived. Hallelujah. Let the scriptures illuminate your mind. Leave those who are carrying rams on in the morning. They are of all men most miserable. They are to be pitied, not feared. You have something stronger than Ramson, they don't know. It's the name of Jesus. There is no sorcery against you. There is no divination. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for you. You only chant your name, say that, you don't understand. My surname is Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. That's what the Bible says. And God is saying that after what Jesus has accomplished, you need to have that confidence also. So Paul, by the Spirit, is leading us in prayer that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. The inheritance of God is in your spirit. Hallelujah. It's in your spirit. You know, I read something before Jesus went to the cross that shocked me. Oh, I love Jesus. Both before and after. I love Jesus. I just love that man of Galilee. He's done so much for me. And he's still doing great things for me. He's even sitting where he sits because of me. As my guarantor, my guarantee forever. He calls my name by you. As long as you see me sitting there, none of your prayers will ever be unanswered. Hallelujah. I sat here for you. I'm here for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so important. And we said, Jesus told them in the garden after praying for 3 hours, Each time he went to pray as he was about to go to the cross, he wasn't afraid of the sword. He wasn't afraid of the cross. He was afraid of the consequences of the cross. The consequence was that he was going to suffer spiritual death, which he had never... That was what he feared the most. He would be separated from his father. How? When he becomes sin. He had made him to be sin. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why he prayed that fervently. And Jesus had the will. Else he could be tempted. He prayed 3 different times, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but your will. Your plan that I should become sin offering, let that be uppermost. He knew what it meant. Humanity didn't know what it meant. All humanity saw was the flogging and the weeping and the crucifixion. But Isaiah gives us a hint. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, you can't see that one. That took place in hell. His soul was made an offering for sin. Isaiah 53. His soul was a ransom for sin. He shall see the fruit of his labor. He shall prolong his days. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 53. I didn't plan for this, but then. Isaiah 53 in verse 9. Glory to God. So we can understand what that name means to us today. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Next verse, please. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When I shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. In other words, when Jesus looked ahead in the future and saw that the fruit of this offering was you and was me, he went ahead to do it. He saw you ahead. He saw you coming into God as Father. He saw what you'll be receiving now. And was satisfied with the sacrifice. Hallelujah. So what happened from the cross to the throne? Paul, back to that Ephesians 1. He's praying by the Spirit through the church, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The Bible says there is tremendous exertion of power that God used in raising Jesus back to life, because he didn't just need to be alive, he needed to be reborn in the depth of hell, the first begotten from the dead, the first man to come out of spiritual death into spiritual life. Hallelujah. The exceeding greatness, that's language Johnny Riot. It means no grammar is adequate. The working together of powers that brought him not just out of spiritual death, out of hell, out of the grave, out of the earth, caused him to ascend, caused him to sit in the highest place in the universe. So I want you to just picture remotely that you release enough momentum into a particular body. The momentum you release into that body, how do you know how much you release? It is when that body stops moving that you know how much momentum you released. So imagine the kind of power that first of all, so to speak, quickened Jesus in the pit of hell. The power was so much that as a man that is reborn, as a new creation, he threw off principalities and powers from him. He came out of hell. He rose to the earth. From the earth, he ascended. He kept rising. He rose above the heavens to the highest place by the Father's right hand. And it was the same power that rose him that took him all the way there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he was alive, and set him at his own right hand every place. Next verse, please. See what he says now. I need to run. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is name. So whatever his name means, no name has meant that. Hallelujah. If he rose far above all principality and all power. Listen, principality, power, might, and dominion are names. Since he rose above all of them, he says, and every name that is named. So whatever name was given has never been named. And that is your name too. Never been named. See what it says. Not only in this realm or world, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And has put all things under his feet and given to be the head over all things to the church. The head is a control center. Some of you, not some of you, all of you, when you get home tonight, you will go and eat. That's if you have not eaten. And some of you have eaten. We are looking at faces before you came for this prayer meeting. It's by word from knowledge. It's not word of knowledge, it's from knowledge. It's word from knowledge. I know by word from knowledge. Now, when you want to eat or drink, your mind thinks it, your hand carries it out. So the head is a control center. But then you need a body. You need appendages. You need a hand. You need a leg to carry out the instructions of the head. The Bible says he's the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at what it says. It says, and he has put say all things under his feet. We is a fit in the body or not? Is it fit in the body or not? That means he has put all things under us. We're his feet. We're members of this body. Hallelujah. He put all things under us. So how does he exercise authority? He does it through you, through me. Where is he seated? Both spiritually and physically, in the Father's highest place in the universe, on the Father's right hand. How does he exercise authority? Through you, through me. He has put all things under his feet. We're part of that feet. So he has put all things under us. Hallelujah. No wonder he's praying that we will see. Because the authority, or he has placed all things under us, but we will not exercise until we can see it. Glory to God. Until we can see it. Then you understand what signs and wonders really are. That it's your heritage. You were born that way. It's not something you are praying for. It's something you were wired to do. You lay hands on the sea. You are not hoping they will be well. You know they will be well. You have the goods with you. Hallelujah. You work miracles at ease. Because you have the name. The same power that brought him out of hell brought you out also. That same power is dwelling. He said, exceeding greatness of his power. Glory to God. Having spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show. But he has put all things under his feet. We are his feet. We are members of his body. He exercises authority through us. He is the head. We are the body. And we are complete in him. Colossians 2:10. Who is the head of all? Say, I'm complete in him. Who is the head of all principality and power? I share headship powers with the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. I share headship powers. You don't persuade demons to go. When you arrive, they go. That's what revelation does. That's the difference. In my early Christian work, I used to have dreams when things were chasing me. I will pray and pray. They will still come back. Some of those things will answer to prayer. They will come back. They will chase you more because some of the prayers are out of fear. Oh God, let me not die in my sleep fear. Why? Until the light comes, set your affection on things above. Where Christ is seated, for your life is hid with Christ in God. Then you go to bed with a difference and say that, come now, all of you together, if you can. Then suddenly you notice, without prayer, the dreams stop. They know, he knows now. His authority is at work now. This is the one who stripped us of power and authority. We are disarmed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Pastor, something is pressing me down. No, you ought to be pressing them down. You are a terror to works of darkness. Hallelujah. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has never comprehended it. Say, I am light. I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I walk in marvelous light. Every taste of darkness is banished from my environment. In the name of Jesus, I exercise my authority. I walk in dominion. I exercise rulership in that mighty name. As he is, who I am in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You are to be feared. You are the original Erugege. Hallelujah. You carry divine presence. It is God that's at work in you. Oh, there's some names that they put. Sorry, forgive my vernacular, some things I'm saying, you know. You know, when they say things like Ebora. Ah, the original Ebora, you are the one. You understand? The kind of spirit at work in you makes demons to shake and vibrate. You understand? When you arrive, all powers have arrived. You understand? Jesus said, all power, all means all, less none. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And it says, in that name, and you are one with that name. It means you are seated where all power is seated. Which other power are you looking for? Can you imagine? You are looking for power. Somebody jokingly said that some of the prayers we pray sometimes, you sure God is looking at them, get great bread. And they come to Jesus. Ah, I thought we gave everything. Did you reserve some? You put some in the storeroom. Did you do it behind my back? I thought it was everything we gave them. Didn't we give them Jesus? In him is life. Hallelujah. He that has the Son has this life. That's what the Bible says. He has this life. And this life is a life of authority. It's a life of dominion. It's a life of power. Hallelujah. If you have the Son, nothing can be added. Nothing can be missing. Again, you have all it takes to walk in authority and dominion. Hallelujah. We are complete. Say, I'm complete in him. Hallelujah. I'm complete in him. Who is the head of all principalities and powers? Hallelujah. So wherever you go, you are a terror to works of darkness. In nothing are you terrified by the adversary. You are a terror to the works of darkness anywhere you go. You carry that authority, that consciousness within you. Years ago, a lady kept telling me that every night, the same bad dream replays. I told her, I won't pray for you. Sleep in my bed. I let's see if they will come back. She was shocked. What was I using? My authority, which was our authority, but she didn't know how to use it. Sleep in my bed and let's see if they will come. First child by Sister Hart, 1997. And the doctors told her the baby's breech. They've done everything. They're going to give birth in a few days. The baby's breech, you would have to rebuy. He said, you have to rebuy CS. I went to her, I looked at her. I said, in the name of Jesus, child, turn. I said, go back to the hospital. They went back to the hospital. Madam, we don't know what happened, but the baby has turned. The baby's ear. If John the Baptist could eavesdrop and hear what Mary was saying to Elizabeth, and he leaped for joy, babies can hear. Hey, glory to God. Babies can hear. In the name of Jesus, I trample over principalities and powers. I walk in supernatural dominion. All the promises of God are yes and they are amen. I have no fear of what I am advantaged in this world. I have supernatural favor in all my experiences. I'm led of the Spirit of God. Things cannot go wrong with me. Hallelujah. I am already right with the Most High. I'm right upon the earth also. You stand in your authority. There is no fear in this realm of love. Perfect love, dominion, it casts out every trace of fear. Hallelujah. When you pray with results. When you pray with understanding, I'm making power available. It is wherever I want to direct power, I direct the power. But I am in authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to round up. One of the past presidents of this nation, he gave a phrase that's now become a household phrase. You know, when the president of a nation, but let the civilian president, they will say, we're in office. But this one said that we want them to know that we're not only in office, we're also in power. So it's not, I'm not teaching you positional truth. Hey, you are in power. You are in power. And there's tremendous power backing you up. Tremendous power. You are not just in office, you are what? In power. You are exercising rule. Exercising authority. Whatever is out of place, you put it back in place. Whatever is not conforming, you make it to conform. Hallelujah. You have the right, you have the authority. The same ability that brought Jesus from the dead out of spiritual death. That same ability is resident inside of you now to correct every disobedience and to uphold the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and pray tonight. Pray in the spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's be power available tonight. Let your consciousness arise like never before. May the hands of your understanding be enlightened. May you walk in absolute dominion in areas where you have quaked, where you have been afraid. May you know with all conviction that if God be for you, who can be against you? May you no longer be beggarly in any area. Open that things will work for you. That it is God that's at work in you, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So with that confidence this night, we pray in the spirit, exercise authority, exercise dominion. In the place of prayer, as we pray in the name in the spirit, we release tremendous power. It doesn't matter what the doctors have said. It doesn't matter what the situations have said. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. And so we have yes and amen. We pray we are one with him who is a yes and amen. We are one with the promises of God in the name of Jesus. I have wisdom and I walk in the light of God's glory. The light of life is in within me, it's in my spirit. I am invigorated by the power and the life of God. I walk in my dominion authority and I have liberty in all areas of life. I walk in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. I declare Estebrosta Katadiste and Enundro Kuste Brakata Estebrosta Brakato Muritika Egekile Brakusta Gasibro Kusta Grabatia. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. No, just listen. The Bible says that whosoever shall see unto this mountain, without removing, without casting the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 12 and 13, that we've been quoting in this series, that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's not prayer, that's demand. He didn't say ask the Father, he said whatever you shall demand as your right in my name, I will do it. Or my authority will get it done. Hallelujah. So sometimes we see Haluma Kasile Kishte Kobrakatia Setur Kuta Edu Sobrakatia Elishto Onaki Le Kubra Kastike Sitekia. Do not let the constant repetitive cycle of the enemy's actions and activity lull you into a state of complacency where you're waiting that when will the Father answer, and yet you have done nothing about that which stands before you. For the mountain is meant to be rebuked and spoken to, it's not meant to be prayed about. So as you learn now to me Ebronia Kashte and Sugrotike Lika Tashte, the mountain is the first one that's in your heart before it is without. For as it is in your heart, and you address it in your heart, and your heart, your mind is renewed, therefore, to the reality of the fact that that which you say must be responded to by whatever you see without, then you will speak to that which is without. Any cycle of oppression or failure or stagnation which seems to be constantly repeating itself, you will stand your ground, and in the name you will command things to change. In the name you will command affliction that repeatedly comes upon that child, you command it to cease and to never come back again, and it will obey you and it will not come back, and the child shall be well, and the stagnation shall be gone, and the affliction shall cease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, we have received instruction. That's what we're going to do. So, quietly on your own, whatever area you notice, whether it's in your child, because that interpretation included children, that you see a particular trait or pattern you're seeing in your children, it may be a health challenge, it may be a behavior pattern that's not in line with the will of God. Well, you don't look at it and watch it, you address it in the name, and you command it to cease. If there's a particular cycle or pattern you've seen in your personal life, you speak in that name, and you command it to change. Go ahead, we have just a few minutes, go ahead in that name. Whatever you can demand to be yours in my name, in my name. Use the name tonight, in the name of Jesus. 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 You are not sluggish, you are not slow-minded. There is nothing dull about you. The intelligence of Christ is within you. The intelligence of Christ There's nothing dull about you. There's nothing dim-witted about you. You are sharp. You are intelligent. That child is sharp. That child is intelligent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that child is of quick understanding. That child remembers and retains what the child is taught. There is nothing dim-witted or sluggish about your children. Your children are sound in body. They are sound in mind. The spirit of excellence is at work in your children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, any appearance that is contrary is forbidden and it comes to an end in the name of Jesus. Elamograstike sugrota dekubatia estuko brakati neshtika elukubo mbelegrastiko saprakatiko in the name of Jesus, every ungodly habit is broken. In the name of Jesus, every practice that's not in line with the will of God is destroyed. Liberty is yours in that name. Freedom is yours in that name. Abundance is yours in that name. Having a readiness to obedience after your own obedience is complete. No more lost opportunities. No more failure to get results or to obtain results. Anikili, ekusabra kastiligo ye, ekana kansi ke susubrusta kalia, ediaku. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. You see, there are some people here that in this season, there have been angels hanging around you, waiting to be released, waiting to be sent. And the urge came inside. Okay, let me give you a scenario. Financially, you've been trusting God for certain things. When I say trusting God, let me rephrase that. Not trusting God actively, trusting God passively. What do I mean by that? You've thought about what you need. The thought has stayed in your mind, but you've never consciously expressed it. That means that you've never at any point in time actually declared, confessed, or prayed it, but it's in your mind. I need to swallow my money. So you are brooding on the thought, you are thinking upon it, but you've never done anything actively by praying or by releasing commands. And so the angels have been around, seemingly loitering around, not being able to act or do anything because you've done nothing about releasing them. So for the next 2 minutes, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want you to go ahead and release them tonight. I'm talking about just one or two people, but then every one of us can take advantage of it. Just go ahead and release them tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and get that thing done. Cause the funds to come. Cause the finances to flow in. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I've been young now, I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaking nor a seed begging bread. Go forward and cause the money to come. Angels of God, ministry spirits, go forward and cause things to work. Go forward. And through the favor of God upon me, let things turn around. Ede Cooper, Castico Sabragaste, no good thing is withheld. Elenico, Lechianusto, Calebungras, the Casicotire, Elico Brake, Sugugati, Gensugrone, Ele Pugati, Gensugratule Gechte, Ekaka Sugrute Lebraca Tuncosa, Estubrocuti, Kestecuro, Nunga, Bege, Kiste Kuglatike, Ekunka, and thanks, Knight. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Glory to his name forever. The word walks. His name is exalted. His name is exalted. We receive answers. We enjoy testimonies. The glory of God is manifest. 2018 is a wonderful year. It's a marvelous year. Thank you, Father. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Glory to God for that. We are on point. There's accuracy, there's precision in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we are grateful and thankful and thankful and thankful and thankful. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you. Thank you for supernatural outcomes. Thank you for supernatural manifestations. Thank you for the light shines ever brighter. Thank you because the word spread. Thank you because more and more people come to the knowledge of the truth. We give you praise and glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah.